Now, if you would turn to the book of Numbers as we continue with our sermons in this particular part of the Word of God. Book of Numbers, chapter 20. And for this morning, we're going to read from verse 22 down to the end of the chapter. Remember, of course, that this is part and parcel of a series of sermons from Sinai to Jordan, taking in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And at the moment then, in chapter 20 of the book of Numbers, and beginning at verse 22. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came on to Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there, in the top of the mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Amen. The Lord bless his word. In the first 13 chapters of this, 13 verses of this chapter 20 of the book of Numbers that we read from again this morning, we have that famous incident where Moses disobeyed the Lord in refusing to do what the Lord had said, and where he was debarred from entering into the land of Canaan on account of that disobedience. The incident involved, you remember, the Lord telling that man Moses to speak to the rock that stood somewhere in the wilderness of Sin in those days, so that water would come out of the rock to assuage the thirst of the children of Israel as they were making their way to the land of Canaan. But instead of simply speaking to the rock in the way that the Lord had said, Moses took the rod that he was carrying in his hand and he struck the rock. He struck the rock again in order to perform that work of bringing water out of the rock in order to give those people water to drink. In verse 7 of the chapter then, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And then in verse 10, And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. But then in verse 12, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses was told to speak to the rock. Simply go to that rock in the wilderness of Sin, speak to the rock in order to perform the miracle of bringing water out of the rock. But instead of that, Moses struck the rock, and he struck the rock twice over, and on account of that then, the Lord told Moses and Aaron as well that they would never enter into the land of Canaan. They would never lead that people into that land which the Lord had promised to give them. Verse 12, The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Now, to go back over any of that in any great detail, my friends, just wouldn't be feasible in any way. However, just to keep the main issue involved before our hearts and our minds, because the whole thing, of course, has a bearing on what now takes place in the life of Aaron at this point in the life of that man. And the issue, of course, you remember, was the age-old issue of unbelief in the lives of the professing people of God who are called to live by faith on the face of this earth of ours. You see the words again, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel." Because ye believed me not. What is unbelief? And unbelief, as we said, is simply failing or refusing to act in the way that God tells us to act. God told Moses to simply speak to the rock, and the rock would give forth its water. But Moses struck the rock, and he struck the rock twice over. He acted in unbelief. "And because ye believe me not, says the Lord, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." As we said, you remember, of course, that does not mean that Moses and Aaron never entered into heaven and into glory at last. Canaan is a type and a shadow of heaven, but it is not heaven. And Moses, of course, came down from the glory to speak with our Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration concerning the death that he was about to die in the city of Jerusalem. But what it does mean is this, that there are consequences to unbelief. When we fail to do what God tells us to do, then the Lord may bring consequences to bear upon us on account of that unbelief. That refusal to do what God says, of course, stands at its height in those who have refused the gospel, who have refused Jesus Christ as their only Lord and Savior. And the eternal consequences of that refusal are throughout the pages of the Word of God from beginning to end. But there can be temporal consequences in the lives of those who have professed the Lord in time, as the Lord may visit consequences upon his people at any time on account of their unbelief. Just what made Moses act in the way that he did, as we said, who can fully know? But in the light of all that took place and we're told about with regards to that incident, Moses obviously got it into his head that speaking to the rock wasn't sufficient to perform the work that God had promised. What was needed, you see, was something dramatic, something powerful. And so he took up the rod that was in his hand and he smote the rock and he smote the rock again. And as we said by way of application, what a word for these days in which we live. God has told his people, preach the gospel, speak the gospel, speak indeed to the rocky hearts of unbelievers, but many of the professing people of God seem to know better than the Lord they profess, and so you bring in all the clowns and all the beat groups and all the dance and all the drama, you see, the dramatic, the powerful, that which will really appeal to the eye. But because Moses failed to do what God told him to do, then Moses and Aaron as well suffered the consequences of their unbelief. You remember the objection, of course, that somebody would come along and say, but it worked anyway. It didn't matter. Moses did disobey God and didn't just speak to the rock, but struck the rock. But water still came out of the rock. So it doesn't really matter whether we believe God or don't believe God, as the case might be. But as we said, my friends, and in these days in which we live, if people would not confuse things that differ, and don't confuse God's sovereign mercy and our obedient faith. God, in his dealings with Israel, in his sovereign mercy, gave them water to drink out of the rock. But God, dealing with Moses, in Moses' unbelief, debarred Moses from entering into the land of Canaan. And that's where the application lies to our hearts and our souls today. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We walk by faith and not by sight. Moses acted without faith, and God reacted in the way that he did to Moses' lack of faith. And that's the ongoing application, as these scriptures, like all the scriptures, are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So it's that incident that begins the chapter, and now, of course, as we move on this morning into this next incident concerning the other man, concerning Aaron, who was in company with Moses at that particular time. It's in the light of that incident, you see, as we read this morning, that you have the death and the dying of Aaron set down before us. Now, just to say, in the verses that immediately follow on from the debarring of Moses and Aaron from the land of Canaan, you have the request on the part of the children of Israel to pass through the land of Edom on their way to the land of Canaan. You have the refusal on the part of the king of Edom to grant them that request. And then, beginning in verse 22 to the end of the chapter, the death of Aaron. And it's those verses that we're going to look at this morning. Now, there are some very, very basic lessons in the verses as they come before us, but we'll take up at least two of them. First of all, to bear this in mind, that although men rise and pass away, the cause of God shall never pass away. And then to bear in mind that although men come to the hour of their death, there is a destination after death. Those two things, that although men rise and pass away, the cause of God shall never pass away. That although we come to the hour of our death, there is a destination after death. So first of all then, to bear in mind that although men rise up and pass away, the cause of our God shall never pass away. Men rise up and pass away. And how vividly all of that is borne out in the death and in the passing away of this man, Aaron. You see, when all is said and done, my friends, by any reckoning, either in those Old Testament days or in this very day in which we live, this man, Aaron, was no ordinary man. No ordinary man. Like each and every son and daughter of Adam's race, he had his faults and he had his foibles and he had his sins before the face of God. It was one of those very sins, the sin of unbelief, that was now debarring him from the land of Canaan that God had promised the nation to give. But for all of that, in spite of all of that, my friends, in the will and purpose of God, this man Aaron was no ordinary man. And indeed, he served the Lord all the days of his life in no ordinary way. You remember that it was Aaron who was Moses' spokesman. It was Aaron who went in and stood before the face of none other than the Pharaoh of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they might worship me in the wilderness. Have we any appreciation of what that involved? The Pharaoh was absolutely despotic. Nobody told the Pharaoh of Egypt what he would do or what he wouldn't do. And there goes in this man, one of the slaves, you see, this upstart. And he stands before Pharaoh and he says, thus saith the Lord God, let my people go that they may worship me in the wilderness. You remember that it is Aaron whom God chose to be the very first high priest in the nation of Israel. And what that entailed, above all other things, was the high priest Aaron going into the very presence of God in the tabernacle only once a year on the great day of atonement and standing in the presence of God. No other mortal being was permitted to do that, not even Moses himself, but Aaron, the high priest alone. You remember going back a few chapters that it was Aaron who stood between the dead and the living when God sent that plague into the nation at that time on account of their sin and their rebellion, that Aaron took up that stance in the face of the plague and stood before the dead and the living. So by any reckoning, Aaron was no ordinary man. And yet you see, in common with every ordinary man, and in common with any other extraordinary man, his time had come. And his time had come when he would depart this world and pass out of this world. The old hymn writer says that mortals rise and perish. The word of God itself says it is appointed unto men once to die. And in the will and in the purpose of Almighty God, it has now come Aaron's time to die, and die he will. Men rise up and pass away. And then if you want the reinforcement of that, you get it in the first few opening words of this very chapter 20 of the book of Numbers. Same basic fact. If you look at verse 1, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. You know who Miriam was? Miriam, of course, was the older sister of Aaron and the older sister still of Moses himself. And in that same sense, Miriam, my friends, was no ordinary woman. It was Miriam who led the praises of the congregation of the nation of Israel when God brought them out of the land of Egypt and over the Red Sea in the way that he did. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Just like our brother, she wasn't without fault or sin or failings or falterings or anything else. But at the same time, in the whole tenor of her life, this woman, Miriam, was no ordinary woman. And of course, long before they came out of the land of Egypt, don't you remember those great scenes where the Pharaoh of Egypt had pronounced that edict that all the male children of the Israelites were to be taken and their throats were to be cut and their bodies were to be thrown into the waters of the river Nile? And Moses' parents, as the apostle says, because he was a goodly child, saw that he was of the Lord, they took him, hid him as long as they could, and then finally they made that little ark of bulrushes and they put him in the waters of the river Nile. And you get one of the loveliest statements, I would think, that you find anywhere on the pages of the Word of God. And it says, his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. That was Miriam, you see. His big sister. Moses' big sister. And when they put the ark in the river, Miriam stood back, you see, to see what was going to be done. And then when Pharaoh's daughter found the ark and the baby, it was Miriam, in her ingenuity, in her young life, under God, of course, suggested to Pharaoh's daughter that she could do with a nurse to look after the baby during his young life. And she went and fetched her own mother and Moses' own mother. And in the will and purpose of God, Moses in those formative years was reared up by his own godly mother. And not only that, she was paid for doing it out of the coffers of the Pharaoh of Egypt as well. Who says that God doesn't have his enemies in derision? And it was Miriam, my friends, that took and undertook to do all of these things. That was Miriam. But again, you see, very simply we're told that Miriam died and was buried in the wilderness. Aaron is just about to die. Miriam has already died and been buried. And within the space of a few short months, my friend, Moses himself will have passed away out of this world and into that world, which has no end. And you see the implications of that. Within the space of less than a year, this last and final year of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, Israel's three great figures have died and passed away. Miriam and Aaron and Moses. Because men or women rise up and pass away. And that's what it's all about, my unconverted friend. That's what it's all about. And we'll come to that, the bearing, the implications of that later on. But for now, simply to take that fact to our hearts and our souls, that men rise up and pass away. Now, the other side, that although men rise up and pass away, of course, the cause of God shall never pass away. And if you have a look at those scenes, because it's a vivid pointer to that fact, if you look at the verses again from verse 23 of the chapter, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron off his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. Now picture that scene. Aaron is dressed in his high priestly garments. You remember we were told about those garments way back in the book of Exodus, about the making of the garments and the purpose of the garments. They were for glory and for beauty. They were to be worn by the high priest in the exercise of his ministry on the behalf of those people to the glory of the Lord their God. And now Aaron, you see, goes up into the mountain dressed in his holy garments, in those high priestly garments. And he's to take him up there dressed in the garments, and then we're told he's to strip the garments from him. And he's to take the garments and he's to drape them over the shoulder of Aaron's son, Eleazar, his son. And in doing that, you see, very simply, my friends, as we say in our jargon today, the king is dead. Long live the king. And the high priest is dead. Long live the high priest. The high priestly office was God's merciful provision for the nation of Israel in those days, so that they could be accepted before the Lord their God and enjoy the benefits of the Lord their God. But now Aaron is about to die. What's going to happen with regards to all of those benefits and all of those blessings? They're going to continue. Because in Eleazar, having the high priestly garments passed on to him, all the benefits and all the blessings are going to continue. If you can visualize the scene, there goes Aaron up into the mount. You can only see his back ascending up there. Possibly there was some mist on the top of the mountain. He disappears into the mist. And then in a given period of time, Eleazar comes down from the mount, out of the mist, dressed in the high priestly robes. Men may pass away, but the cause of God does not pass away. Israel's first high priest had now died and passed out of this world. But the line goes on and will go on until that day when Christ himself would come, the great high priest of our profession forever and forevermore. It was God who ordained the high priestly office. And that priestly office would not pass away until all of God's purposes had come to the full. One high priest goes up to die, another high priest descends, and God's cause goes on in the nation of Israel. And again, my friends, that's a great basic fact, a great basic fact to hold to our hearts and our souls for our good and our blessing in every way. You see, Moses himself, as I said, is soon going to die. The Lord's going to take him up into Mount Ebal, give him a glance of the land of Canaan, and then Moses is going to die on that mount and be buried at the hand of the Lord himself. That's in the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And what's going to happen when God takes away Israel's leader, their great leader, Moses? And as you come into the first chapter of the book of Joshua that follows immediately on from the book of Deuteronomy, here's what you read. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. You see, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. God's purpose wasn't going to fall to the ground because a mortal man, even an extraordinary mortal man like Moses, had now passed away. Because although men pass away, the cause of God shall never pass away. And in these days in which we live, my friends, it's good to get that into your heart and into your soul, that we are in the hands of a God who has his cause in his own heart and in his own mind and performs it in accordance with his own will and with his own purpose. You remember Elijah. Hardly was there a prophet like Elijah in the land of Israel. And the Lord one day took him up in a chariot of fire. But as he was going up in the chariot of fire, his mantle fell off, his robe fell off, and it was picked up by a young man called Elisha. And there was still a prophet in the land of Israel, even though Elijah had been taken away. Remember how Paul wrote to Timothy on his deathbed, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And if you want a supreme example of that, you know the opening chapter of the Gospel of Mark? And it says, now after John the Baptist, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Herod had locked away dear old John the Baptist, and no sooner was the key turned in the lock and clicked in the lock, then Christ came, preaching the self-same gospel that John the Baptist had preached. That hymn says, indeed, mortals rise and perish, but God endures, unchanging, on. And Aaron, you see, ascends the mountain with Moses, and he dies there. Eleazar descends from the mountain and lives on in the cause of God in the nation until Eleazar will die, and another will take Eleazar's place, and on and on and on until Christ will come in the completeness of it all. That's something else, of course, that belongs to the whole affair along that line. You see, it's something prophetic in what took place at that time. You remember that in these Old Testament scriptures, there are those things practical to our souls. There are those many, many things prophetic of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this kind of scene that the Lord's apostle takes up when he writes to the Hebrews concerning all the priests that went before, and Jesus Christ as the great high priest of our profession. And he speaks along this way. He says they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come on to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God gave Israel a priesthood. That priesthood continued all of those days. But there had to be many priests. And the reason why there had to be many priests was because they were mortal men and they all ceased to live in the world. But he says, this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. And you see, surely one of the reasons why we're shown the public death. Aaron died not within his own tent. Aaron died in public before all the congregation of the children of Israel, so that every member of the congregation of the children of Israel saw Aaron dying. The first high priest died. The next high priest came along. He died. There were many priests, says the apostle, because they were not suffered to continue because they died. But this man, he's got a continuing priesthood. He lives and ever lives to make intercession for us. And if someone says, of course, but Jesus died as well. Well, again, don't confuse things that differ. And to keep the clear distinction in our hearts and our minds, my friends, Christ died as a sacrifice. He didn't die as a high priest. As a high priest, as the apostle says, he offered himself to God. And all the high priests died, but Christ never died as a high priest and ever lives to be the high priest of his people forevermore. Men rise and pass away, but the cause of God does not pass away. In those Old Testament days even, it did not pass away. And in these New Testament days, it cannot pass away. Because it is in the hands of our great high priest who continues ever. So as you look at the events as they're set down for us by the Holy Spirit of God, that basic lesson that men rise up and pass away, even the greatest of them, but the cause of God shall never pass away. Now the other basic lesson that we mentioned was this. Out of this death and dying of Aaron, you remember, that although men come to the hour of their death, there is a destination after death. That's a very basic lesson. Very basic lesson in the gospel for each and every one of our hearts and souls. An issue that we need to settle. Every man and woman, young person, needs to settle that before the hour of their death arrives. Great volume of opinion, of course, today that says, well, you live and you die and you fall into the ground. And that's the end of it. Of course, that's not the end. Not by any manner of means. And even in this incident with Moses and Aaron, we're told that that is not the case at all. Now have a look at the Lord's words to Moses and to Aaron himself, of course, again in verse 23. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. And then again in verse 25 of the chapter, take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor. Strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they were to take the body of Aaron and bury the body of Aaron wherever his ancestors, his forebears, his family were buried? Of course, it doesn't mean any such thing. In fact, it can't possibly mean any such thing. If you take Aaron's mother and father, that godly couple, who indeed lived by faith, as the apostle tells us in the epistle to the Hebrews, they're buried in Egypt. Their bodies are lying in a grave somewhere in Egypt, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away. It would have been an impossibility for them to have taken the body of Aaron and buried it with his ancestors, with his people, there in the land of Egypt. And when the Lord speaks to Moses, tells Moses that Aaron will be gathered onto his people, he's not speaking about his temporal body in which his soul resided all the years of his life. He's speaking about his never-dying soul itself and the destination of his soul when his body would breathe its last. You see, get all the parts, my friends, of the total equation absolutely clear in our hearts and souls. There is a dying, and there is a departing, and there is a destination. The body dies, but the soul departs, and the soul departs to one of either of two destinations, either into the glories of heaven, where all who have ever believed in Christ are, or into an undone eternity with all those who rejected the word of the living God and the gospel of his beloved Son. And if you want the clearest declaration of that fact that you could find anywhere, you'll find it in the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. You remember those words concerning the rich man and Lazarus, and how our Lord spoke concerning the rich man in Lazarus? There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now do you see that? They both died, says the Lord. There came the point when the hour of the death of both those men arrived, and they both departed. Their spirits departed. Their bodies were laid in the grave. They were buried, says the Lord. But their spirits departed. And their spirits departed to two very different destinations. One went to heaven and the other went to hell. There is a dying and a departing and a destination. And if anyone wants to argue with that, it is Christ that they have to argue with, and no mere mortal man, because Christ in those words, my friends, sets that basic fact before our hearts and our souls. Have a look at the words which the Lord spoke again to Moses and to Aaron as well in verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Eden, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. And then those words again, of course, the Lord spake unto Moses that Aaron would be gathered unto his people. But God didn't only speak those words to Moses, he spoke them to Aaron as well. Now just think of that. God was telling Aaron to make his way up to the top of Mount Hor, where he was going to die. What if God said to any one of us, after this service this morning, go to your home, go to your room, lie down in your bed, and die? Imagine that. In the normal run of things, we don't know the hour of our death. But what if that could happen, my friend? Is the destination settled? The spirit would depart. Our friends, our family would take our bodies and lay them in the grave. where would our spirits have departed to? And that's the ever-living basic fact of the gospel. The Lord's apostle speaks about the spirits of the justified made perfect. And indeed they are. At the hour of their death, they go to be with the Lord. But here is the Lord speaking to this man Moses and this man Aaron. And he's saying to them, the hour of Aaron's death has come. Let me just say this. By the reckoning or by the standards of those Old Testament days, Aaron wasn't exceptionally old. By our standards, that would be the case. But by those standards, he wasn't exceptionally old. He hadn't suffered from any terminal illness. He hadn't been lying on a bed of sickness, on a sick bed for a past number of weeks. When it comes to the death of Moses, this is what we're told about the death of Moses. It says his eye was not dim, neither was his natural force abated. And you see, if a coroner had taken and performed a post-mortem on those two men, his findings would have been this: they died in perfect health. They died in perfect health. How did they die? In these days, and believe me, I'm not slighting it in any way, but oh, to have perfect health, and to see to all the foods and all the fitnesses and all the fads that come along, my friends, Aaron and Moses died in perfect health. Why did they die in perfect health? Because God said, the hour of your death is come. And that's basic. I can't think of anything more basic than that, my friends. They died because God had decreed the hour of their death. What about the issue of destination? The hour of our death's assured. Whether people believe it or not, it's assured. What about the destination for you or for me or for each and every one of us within these walls this morning? And you see, in reality, that word gather is a lovely word. A lovely word. As I say, when the Lord speaks to Moses and to Aaron, and when he says that Aaron is going to be gathered onto his people, that points to his soul. His body will be laid in the ground somewhere there in the wilderness of Zin, but his soul will go into the company of all those who have gone before and believed in the Lord their God to the good of their souls forevermore. Those who died in faith, as the apostle says. These all died in faith. And dying in faith then, of course, they were gathered amongst the faithful, the spirits of the faithful, before the throne of God in heaven above. But you know, there's another gathering, more glorious than that, because it's the completeness of all that Christ has done. And when all those who have lived by faith and died in faith, when the hour of their death comes, and God gathers them into his kingdom, until that day, when Christ descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, when the dead in Christ rise, and he gathers them, body and soul, into heaven and into glory at last. You remember how the Lord's apostle wrote to the Thessalonians? Now he says, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. A great old gospel hymn that speaks about the gathering of the ransomed. What a gathering of the ransomed that will be. And Aaron, you see, as with all who die in the Lord, are gathered into the presence of the Lord as to their spirit until the day when Christ comes, raises up their bodies incorruptible like his own body, and they are gathered into the presence of God for eternity. The time of our death, the place of our death, when all said and done, these aren't important. These aren't important. It's our destination after death. That's important. That's all important. My friends, there are but two peoples. On all of this whole wide world, there are but two peoples. And we are gathered onto the one people or onto the other. The people of God who have believed and those people who have never believed. And the way that we come to God now and then on into eternity is in that way that he is appointed by that high priest who never dies. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. Who come unto God by him. You see. Not by the law. Not by our own righteousness. Not by our own works. Not by church ordinances. Not by family ties. By him. All who come unto God by him alone. And those who have come on to God by him now, while they live, shall come on to God when they die, through him and by him alone. May the Lord give the lessons to us. They're basic lessons, as I say, kind of things, I'm sure, that are meant to be to our hearts and our souls all our days. Settle the issue. Settlation. The time of our death, that's settled. That's settled by God. The destination, by the grace of God, let's settle that in our hearts and in our souls.